Sci-fi party line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat.
And this is your co-host, Carl. The Sci-Fi Party Line podcast is an audio program where we discuss your favorite and not so favorite science fiction TV shows and films.
Today, we will discuss Unbreakable. Now, this came out in, what, 2005 or something?
2000.
Okay. Jamil. Which has been on the show before. Him and Carl, they've had words over Stargate Universe and disagreements on that, and they seem to have disagree on some things. So there was a big discussion on Facebook between us, and he claimed that Unbreakable was really good. Now, when I first saw Unbreakable, I recall really disliking it. So because of so many people on that Facebook post was like, no, Unbreakable is really good. It's one of my favorite of all times. I decided to reconsider Unbreakable and give it another shot, give it another watch.
And she brought me along unwillingly in this participation.
Carl is cranky. We all know that. And so, you know, I have to drag him kicking and screaming. So I wasn't excited about watching it. But I just decided, you know, let me go ahead and give it another watch. It's M. Night. You know, that wasn't pulling me in. But, you know, whatever. So we decided to give it another watch. I have to say, on my second viewing, I haven't seen it in years. I like it. I like it a lot more. It felt nuanced. I love all of the kind of camera angles and shots. I like the way it was directed and paced. I like where it was going. I remember why I disliked it. Because I don't know, the end was like shocking in a way that I don't know. I just didn't like it. But I haven't seen it in a long time, and it was just really kind of. It was kind of a little light touch, elegant-ish to me. I like some of the shots with him in his hood towards the end, where there were great hero shots. I like the everyday man coming into his own and realizing that he could be something more. I like the way Samuel L. Jackson kind of walked him into it. I would have liked to have seen, not throughout the film, because that would have given it away, but like, just, I don't know, maybe a prequel, or how Samuel L. just came to be the bad guy. I mean, he was pretty much twirling his mustache throughout the whole film, but he was doing it in a way because he really wanted the Bruce Willis character to buy into his good guy thing, to make him reveal what all he was, to know that if he's the good, then there must be something opposite. So I don't know, I really enjoyed it this time around, and I thought it was great.
What do you want me to say? I mean, I remember the movie exactly the same way. The thing is, M. Night is a master of building dramatic tension, a master of setting up the image of what the story is supposed to be like in terms of composition and beauty. He can unveil a story in a way like no one else. My problem is the way he ends stuff. Now, I'll tell you, right up until the end, this is a remarkable film, and particularly because, again, you know, I'm a fan of heroes. This is the prototype for what heroes became. The sort of story where you don't really see the capes and the tights, but you just see everybody and every man, every woman in a very natural way discovering that they have unusual abilities. And the way that it is revealed in this movie is very exciting. It was very unique at the time. Well done, as always, with M. Night. He can tell a story. But when you give me this much buildup, with the pacing, because he does a dramatic unveiling, when you've got pacing like this, that's slow and dramatic, I want to see a payoff that is equally proportional to the time that we have invested in the buildup. To write how the story ends on the screen in the last 30 seconds of the film is not acceptable to me, given what we've been through. I mean, think about it now. Bruce Willis's character is basically an evolving superhero. He has superpowers and super abilities, and the way he learns about that is very fascinating throughout the film. But throughout the entire film, the only expression of his superhero abilities that we see is he bends a car door, lifts a whole bunch of weight, chokes a dude. That's it. That's it. A superhero.
He never got sick. He hadn't had a chance to develop his strength in a way. He did choke a guy to death after getting bumped around. We got to see his water weakness, which is a thing with M. Night in films and water.
Yeah, he's very elemental. M. Night. Water takes out everything.
God, this guy. But I don't like the text on the end with the stupid wrap up. Okay, because that wasn't good. But now I see like why an Unbreakable 2 would be something that would be a good thing, because I think if he just left it without the words on the screen and just kind of unveiled it like that without the words, you might have liked it a little more.
No, because the one thing I was looking for in the whole film was finally the big battle between the hero and the villain. How are you going to have a superhero movie with no battle between the superhero and the villain?
But that's not what this really, really was about.
Apparently not. What was this really, really about?
I don't know. It was about the slow, sexy unveiling. Oh, it was slow.
It was unveiling.
I don't know. I just like the unveiling. I like the discovery of self. I like that it left room for other things. He should have attacked it. Not now. He's talking about Unbreakable 2. He should have did that years ago.
Well, nobody wanted to give him the money after this.
I guess because, you know, he probably should have been smart enough to sell it as a sequel in the first place.
Well, see, I'm pretty sure that was his goal. But the thing is you have to be able to make enough money from the previous movie to make the bid for a successful sequel. I don't think that was quite the case. But what really is the problem is, even if you plan ahead to make a sequel, unless you were George Lucas, you've got to make the movie stand on its own. It's got to be able to have some kind of closure. If you think of Batman, if you think of Spider-Man, if you think of any classical superhero movie, even Thor, it had an arc self-contained within one episode, within one movie, and when the sequel came around, there was a bit of a cliffhanger, but it didn't leave you this much of a cliffhanger where you just find out, oh, here's the villain, and maybe we'll see him again in the next episode. There's got to be, I mean, even respecting the history of comic books where, you know, they leave you on a cliffhanger. Where, you know, we'll have blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's great, right? But still, even the individual comic book still has enough to make it stand on its own.
Some of them don't.
Well, they're also not multi-$100 million movies. So if you're going to do that, that's my beef.
Well, I mean, I get that. I do get that. But my second time around, I was really shocked by how much it, you know, pulled me in, and I liked it again, and I loved the way the shots were. The score was, you know, engaging, and I don't know. I thought it was well done after all these years, and it still looks modern. Like, it looks like it was shot last year.
He's got a good eye for cinematography, no doubt about that. Now, I mean, the fact that there were no cell phones and people were leaving messages on voicemail things and answering machines.
Of course, it was a period piece.
Yeah. But composition wise, yes, no doubt it looked great. It looked great. But I just can't get over it. I just can't get over that. In general, I want a little bit of closure, and especially if you're bringing me a superhero movie, I want to feel victorious. I want to feel either the superhero has battled and won the villain, or not. It's just not enough to unveil the villain. So I think that's what the biggest problem with Unbreakable is. People walked out of that theater with fury on exit because they're like, well, now what? What? Where's the rest of it? I paid, and there's no rest of this movie. So, you know, that's part of the problem. So it was a beautiful composition, wonderful build-up.
I think, but on the second look, after you know what he's done, and you're over the shock
not to expect an ending on the film.
You can appreciate it.
It's much easier to appreciate it as an art piece as it is.
Oh my God, Carl. I'm just saying, the first time I saw it, yes, I had the same concerns. But after seeing it a second time, knowing what was done with the ending, it was less traumatic. Mm-hmm. And I could enjoy it more for what it was, and I didn't have to. I didn't have any expectation of, because I know there's nothing else. So right. I enjoy the journey.
Well, it's a fascinating journey. It's a fascinating journey indeed. And perhaps another reason that Unbreakable did not have an immediate sequel is because it takes people 15 years to reconcile how they felt about the ending before going back to watch it again. I mean, really? So there have been rumors that finally, out of the mothballs, out of the whatever, that they are going to try to make a sequel to Unbreakable. And, you know, frankly, I invite it. I told you. I like the way the movie looks.
Really cranky,
I do. But really, 15 years?
It took a while. When you said it a few hours ago, I didn't even want to wake up today because I knew I had this to watch. But I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it. It was very enjoyable knowing the ending, and I think that perhaps maybe M. Night should quit the tricks on you know, with the trick endings.
He can't help himself though.
But he needs to like stop that, because
I wish he would.
Because I don't think he's a bad. He just got a bad reputation because they just really kind of they piss you off, and I don't want to be pissed off.
No,
I want to enjoy.
I'm tired of that.
His art. So I'm willing to give it another shot, but I'm afraid. I am afraid because it did take me 15 years to watch this again.
Well, like if he will respect the fans and give us a little bit of closure.
Has he respected?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, look what we've been through. After The Sixth Sense, I mean, I actually was very excited about Unbreakable because I very much liked The Sixth Sense, and I went into this movie with the true wide-eyed optimism that I had with early M. Night. This is right in the beginning. This is when we were just getting to know him and getting to appreciate his movie making style.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I saw this, I was really disappointed because I can watch and appreciate art films. You know, I can sit back and go, oh, you know, it looks nice, or you did a good job with the soundtrack, or well, the elements are really nice. But I really do like for my movies to be complete. when Unbreakable came and I walked out of that theater with this expression on my face, I was like, well, okay, everybody has a bad one. It was a beautiful journey. Let's see what the next M. Night movie is. And every time.
Yeah, we had Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs,
The Water Village, People, The Village,
Lady in the Water,
Water Again,
The Happening,
The Crappening,
Last Airbender.
Oh my God.
Devil.
Jeez.
After Earth.
Oh my God. I forgot After Earth. You see, I mean.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
So you see how in any of these movies, it was pretty to look at. Even Airbender had cinematography
cinematography
that was on point.
Cinematic.
There were cinematic moments. It was beautiful vision of things. But when it comes to telling the story, what is he doing? Why does he put us through this? It really is like he gets us right up until the end and then just walks away.
He gets tired, like, you know.
So with that history, I don't understand why. I don't get what he's trying to do. And so I get more and more upset with him because I do appreciate his eye. I know he can tell a story. He does a great job of setting us up. And then he ends up setting us up. You just walk out feeling uncomfortable.
You know, it took me a while to watch Lady in the Water. And I think I watched it like a couple of years ago or like last year. Mm. I didn't hate it. It was weird, but I didn't hate it. The Village was okay. I thought it was, you know, like a Twilight Zone episode. But Signs, no. That was, I was upset.
Mm, well, that did
it. That was it. No, Unbreakable was it too, but that, oh.
So, I mean, the question is he learning his lesson? Is he going to give us a break?
I don't think he is. I think he thinks we're stupid and we're not smart enough to get it.
Well, some filmmakers like to make films for the sake of making films. It's an exercise to them. Elements of making film is what they're passionate about, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they are going to give the fans what they want. They're making the movie that they want to make. And so it becomes a question for the fans to, do you want to continue to support the art houseness of what this person is doing? If you want to continue to support the exercising of their theatrical elements, well, okay. You know, you just keep going and keep paying for these films. But, I mean, for once, I really, really just want him to tell a complete story for once.
Without the gimmick.
Without the gimmick, without the lack of closure, without the train seats getting in the way of the shot while they're telling the story. Can I just
that went on for a little too long. Please,
can I just have one movie, M. Night? We've given you time. But we've given you life. Come on, man.
But what I liked about this one was like just the comic bookness of it.
Amazingly respectful to comic books, to the legacy of comic books. You can tell he's a fan of comic books. That was what was amazing about the way he told this story.
I know. And I like the, like, with Samuel L. Jackson's like, oh, you're getting this for a 4-year-old kid? No, sir. You're not allowed to. Your money's no good here.
Get out my shop. Get out my shop.
Buy this for a kid. This is not a toy shop. Did you see a horse outside with a little springy thing on it? Do you see tiddlywinks?
Look, and the actors that he picked for this. Yeah. Awesome. You know, Bruce Willis at his prime. Samuel L. was coming up. You know, he was early to recognize the potential of Samuel L. So it was beautiful. The way that they carried themselves through this story, every moment just left you going, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And when you watch an entire movie going, what's going to happen? And it just keeps building and keeps building and keeps building. Guess what? You want the crescendo. You want the payoff to be there. And unfortunately, that was not quite what happened.
Well, I think, I don't know, this time around, I wasn't so upset.
Because you knew how it was going to end.
I mean, I knew how it was going to end, but I thought it was kind of good. It was kind of cool how it all came out, and Bruce Willis was just like, oh my God, I don't know what's why. Is that this guy has been crazy the whole time? I knew it. And he was just like, I know, they called me Mr. Glass. And he just, all of a sudden, it all came tumbling down on him that this guy has been bombing things and creating disasters to try to find his counterpart.
That's right.
And so that I thought that was really clever. The ending could have been different because, like, I mean, once you find out that, you need a little bit of breathing room to you know, get it laid out, to get some, like you said, closure.
Well, you had plenty of breathing room because that's when the movie ended.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, you know, just different type of closure. But, like, do we need to see him go to jail? Do we need to see him if that's what happens? Like, what are you looking for, Carl? Like, we know that once he finds out, there can't be an epic battle because that wasn't, the battle was not the battle is not going to be a physical battle because Mr. Glass can't fight physically. The battle was the trickiness of him. I mean, that's what his mom said. They told you right there at the end. His mom said, well, some evil guys use their, you know, their hands or get physical. But the true evil guy is the one who uses his mind. So there has been a battle going on throughout the whole film. We've seen the epic battle, but it's just been in your mind, Carl. In your mind.
No.
In your mind.
No. I agree with you. I don't believe there's going to be a fist fight. But see, this is where we need M. Night's artistry. And this is the problem. I believe he is really good at setting up scenarios, but he doesn't know how to end them. I think he comes up with these fascinating, really in-depth questions and scenarios, and then he writes himself into a corner and he's like, well, I did my part, and walks away. Now, if you create a villain
just like men.
as devious and intelligent as Mr. Glass is in this movie, then you would expect the conflict or his retaliation or his coming into his own as a supervillain to be equally unique in scale. I would be really, really interested to see what the arch villain of Mr. Glass's ultimate plot would be, because no arch villain is satisfied was simply identifying the hero that is his counter. He's got to defeat the hero, or at least make a real effort to defeat him. That's what comic books are about. It's not that it's just unveiling. That's the background. Then you get on with the real comic book. So this is where I want to see his unique storytelling ability. This is where I want to see his unique spin on
it.
Well, see, that's the problem.
I don't want to touch it. I like it. Like, I'm just coming to grips with liking that as a piece. I don't want anything else because I'm afraid.
Well, I am too. That is why every time we hear something coming out with M. Night, we just shudder. We shudder because we know that elements of it are going to be incredibly unique and innovative, and there's going to be a question that's asked in the movie, and that question's going to be leading us along, and we are just begging, please, please, this time, can we get a real answer to the question that is fulfilling at the end of the movie? And not since Sixth Sense, not since then has he given us it's not just closure. If you're going to ask a big question, you got to give us a balanced, proportionate answer. And I don't think he has ever done that since Sixth Sense. Not since Sixth Sense has he ever been able to do that. So for him to get another $100 million to make another movie, I mean, because even when he was working on Airbender, when he was working on Airbender, I had a bit of hope because he didn't write the story. I was thinking, well, at least we can see his artistry in terms of how beautiful he makes things look apply to somebody else's story. Mm. Maybe this time we're going to get something that, you know, has an ending that is not has a trick in it or something, and we're just going to be able to enjoy the ride in a world created by M. Night. And you see what happened?
I don't even know what happened.
Even there, the insanity that went down with Airbender is just unfreaking forgivable. Unforgivable. That's what the movie ought to be called. Unforgivable. So, he's had all of this time, and I think he's happy with what he's creating, and he's enjoying the process.
Really, because nobody's inviting him to make films. Well, so he there should be a clue in there somewhere that perhaps he should do something, adjust somehow his approach.
Well, I would hope that maybe after all of this time, one time he'd give us a freaking break.
We want him to do it too. I think that's where the hate is coming from, is because
it's frustration.
Yeah. So we always want, even after all we've been through with M. Night, we want to see him succeed at something because we know that the potential and the talent is there. It's there. It's just I don't know. He needs to find his counterpoint. He needs to find his Mr. Glass. Or is he Mr. Glass?
I think he's Mr. Glass. I don't know what's going on. But it's, come on, M. Night, man. Come on. Really? Give us a break. Just one time. It's been a long time. Come on. I'm rooting for you. But, you know, you're in the pool right now, and you're drowning, man. Oh, and the plastic's wrapped around you. And we can't be handing you the pool stick. Time and time.
Okay,
15
Carl.
Years, man.
Okay, Carl.
15 years.
Okay, Carl. It's time for you to calm down.
Jeez.
All right. So we did Unbreakable for Jamil.
Mm. Thanks, man.
And, you know, we came out of it with Kat appreciating the film more and Carl feeling the same way.
I remember the film just fine, thank you.
Okay, well, I hadn't seen it, and so because I just remember how I felt. That's all. Here, I think it's good. I mean, I like it, and I think that you should, Carl, change, be a little bit more forgiving, and in your he is giving me a side eye like you would not believe. He took his glasses off for that side.
I'm just, this was M. Night at his prime. And you're saying that I should give him another chance. I have given him chance after chance after chance.
I know.
This is it.
This just feels fresh to me right now.
This is it, man. You got one more chance. I don't want you to make any other movie. The only movie I want M. Night to make is Unbreakable 2, The Apology. And finally give the fans what it is they have been asking you for since the very beginning. This is it. That's it, man. This is your last chance. Otherwise,
maybe
you're going to
be... Maybe we should watch Devil.
No, this is your last chance. I don't want to see nothing else by him. I want to see...
So this is his last chance,
his final chance.
To show, and then after that, we're done.
Yeah, that's going to be it.
Okay. All right. I mean, I think that's fair. We've given him 15 years of our lives.
And our money.
Yeah.
And our frustration. Enough.
Yeah. All right, brother. So, are we done with that? That was just going to be quick anyway.
There you go. That's all I got to say.
Oh, my God, Carl. Guys, if you have some feedback and you want to congratulate me on my newfound appreciation for Unbreakable, you can give us a call at 773-336-2686. Go to our website and leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. We are also on iTunes. Leave a comment there, please.
You can find us online on Twitter and Gmail. I'm at RoboMinister. Kat is at FancyFimbot. You can reach us both at Sci-Fi Party Line on Facebook, Google Plus, and Stitcher Radio.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
end of line.